You are flying high on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Also, follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak Without a Bad Day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm doing well, Chief. Like I told you last week, I mean, I had a solid amount of money riding on a line that was -3 for Philadelphia out of his 3-point favorites, which by game time was up to a 7-point spread. And let me do the math here real quick. The Eagles beat the Cowboys by 28 points. So I think I cleared that pretty comfortably. So, man, oh, what a fun night. What a good time.
37-9 is your final. It's our new 44-6, our modern era 44-6. It's, I don't know about you, coming into it, I wasn't really stressed. And right before the game, I started to get that division rival game jitters. I know you were somewhat nervous about it coming into it. But dude, I'm telling you, this team in the second half is just resilient. They come out with a game plan. They're number one in the league in the second half for points scored per game. Number three in the first half, which is why the first half was so shocking. Only 7 points for the Eagles. So let's go from start to finish. First drive, we come out and we march right down the field. It doesn't even look like it's going to be a problem. Before that, the Cowboys had gotten a nice return from Switzer, set up for a field goal after a 3-and-out, and it was 7-3. But what did you see that happened after that? What were your feelings after those first two initial drives?
Right. So yeah, that first drive was, you know, it went quick pass. Torrey Smith kind of attacking that cushion that Jordan Lewis was giving him right away, right? But then after that, you had a Jay Ajayi run. You had a little quick screen pass. You had the a penalty on Dexter Lawrence, and then you had a couple of LeGarrette Blount runs. Then a big, huge play to Barner and a Barner run. That was a very run-predicated sort of an attack, right? And it was a lot of power style of runs. You know, they were taking advantage. When you have a team with poor linebackers, like Dallas does, I like to run power against those teams, right? Because now you've got climbers coming up and attacking those linebackers very directly. You have, you know, Jason Kelsey or one of the guards, Steven Wisniewski or Brandon Brooks, who's assigned to go get one of those linebackers. And you can really take advantage of they're maybe slower to react, or they're just athletically not as gifted, and it's easier for linemen to climb up and seal them. And then if you're able to break that first level, break past that defensive line, then that second level is all cleared up, and now you've got big boys rumbling through the secondary, right? We saw that happen a lot. So that first drive fit that very nicely. And then it seemed after that drive went down, the Eagles moved to a little bit more of a pass-centric attack, right? That next upcoming drive was all either Carson Wentz pulled a zone read on one play, and then he was just chucking the football. And then kind of that entire first half, it looked a lot like Peterson was trying to get Wentz into a rhythm, which I completely respect and I understand. And Wentz was just struggling. He missed some easy throws. He suffered a couple of drops. And, you know, it was clear, you know, he was a little bit frustrated. He was mad that he wasn't playing terribly well. And he was a little bit in his own head. You could tell he was trying to do a little bit too much. He really wanted to beat Dallas. You could just see a young quarterback who was kind of just freaking out a little bit. Hey, there was one on the other side of the sidelines as well, if you ask me. And so, I don't know about you, but my impression for that first half struggling, you know, kind of I did a halftime check-in on Periscope and kind of talking about what we were seeing. And I kind of said, you know, there's no reason to believe this offense won't walk out and move the football down the field. They just have to kind of recenter the focus and say, all right, maybe this isn't the, you know, Wentz-led sort of an offense. Maybe we go run heavy in the second.
Right, yeah. And what I saw was there wasn't a whole lot of separation outside of those speed outs early in the game. There wasn't a whole lot of separation in that first half for Wentz to deal with. And I'm not making excuses for him. He did miss some throws and whatnot. He missed Aguilar on the right side on one of those drives when he'd got some clearance, underthrew it a little bit. So he struggled for sure. I think the pass catchers struggled as well early on. The Cowboys did a good job on Ertz, especially early on, locking him up, pressing him at the line, not letting him get overly physical with him. And then, you know, you look towards, I mean, we miss a chip shot after a turnover, and we're not able to get turn those turnovers into points. Darby had a pick, McLeod had a pick off of a tip, and Elliott pushes one wide to the right. And I guess he had been concussed earlier in the game because he then goes to the locker room. I'm going to ask you a question here, Ben. Did you or did you not burn your Jake Elliott jersey like I told you to? Because this is the first game that you've worn it. and terrible, terrible things happened.
Yeah, no, I wore it all through the first half, and then I took it off at halftime, and then the Eagles came out in the second half and hung 30 unanswered points on the Cowboys. And not to mention, Kamuu Grugier-Hill had a touchback, which was extraordinary. That was one of the highlights of the game, if you ask me. I didn't burn it, because I would have set off the smoke alarms and gotten in trouble, Michael. But yeah, Jake Elliott, that's an interesting situation to monitor. The Eagles have both of their IR activations that they can use. Darby was never put on IR for Philadelphia. Caleb Sturge is currently on IR, so make sure you're watching. I don't know if it was officially a concussion or if it was just a head injury for Elliott. Do you know that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's in the concussion protocol or not. That's something that we're going to have to follow up on throughout the week.
Yeah, so we'll have to check in on Elliott and see what the situation there is. Obviously, you're hamstringed when you don't have a kicker available, right? That's a little thing that can cause big problems. But hey, how about with no kicker, Philly went down the field, three touchdown drives, including a fourth down conversion in the red zone, and then converted on 3 2-point conversion plays, right? So like once you give Doug that crack to start playing a little bit aggressive, he's just gonna take it and run with it, man. I mean, he started really jamming down their throats. That second half coming out the way the Eagles did, I kind of was having that thought at halftime where this is a really good test for a team that is young but is expected to be in the playoffs, because you're looking at them and you really want to see them overcome adversity. You know, Eagles have had a lot of pretty wins so far this year. They needed an ugly win. They needed to forget an ugly first half, come out and really play a good second half. That's what a playoff team would be able to do, and that's what they did. So really kudos to the coaching staff who brought them out into a second half with really excellently revised game plan, a lot of energy, a lot of positivity, and it showed. They dominated that second half.
Yeah, and I agree. And let's talk about that, because we go into half down 9-7. I've got people hitting me up on Twitter, both me and you, going, what is going on with the run game? Where is Jay Ajayi on this and that? So on and so forth. We had that weird drive at the end of the half where we had 3rd and 10 on the Cowboys side of the field, and we run a draw, which is the first run we had seen in a while. And then we come out in the second half and we put a big time emphasis on it. And we end that drive with a Corey Clement 11-yard run. And then we also get the 2-yard conversion, which was the what is that? The swinging gate type formation almost. They had the three wide receivers and the running back behind them, which is beautiful. I love to see that. Not a true swinging gate, but you get what I'm getting at. So it's 15-9 at that point. And just from there, man, the Dallas offense did good in the running game. They were able to get some chunk yardage on us, which the Eagles had not really seen before coming into this game, and had some success with Alfred Morris. Other than that, though, I mean, Dak, 3 interceptions.
He played bad.
A fumble. It seemed like a quarterback that had a lot on his shoulders that was trying to put it all on his shoulders at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Because he looked frantic out there. Not the cool, calm, collected Carson Wentz that we know. And look, for all the debates in the summer about Wentz versus Dak, you can throw him out the window right now, because Wentz is playing the better ball through adversity. And we'll see what happens to this Cowboys team moving forward. I think Dak is a resilient kid. I don't know about the team around him, because it just seemed like they quit as the game moved on. But that second half, man, how'd you feel about the game plan? Because like I said, first in the league, points scored in the second half. This Eagles team comes out, they go into half, they make adjustments, they come out with a game plan, they figure it out, and they coach the other teams out of the building. And that's what happened to Jason Garrett. He just got walked. He got ran out the gym.
Yeah, Mike, they ran the ball 24 times in the second half. Right? They ran the ball 24 times in the second half. That's mad, right? Yeah, they ran 32 plays by my count in the second half, and 24 of them were running plays. I mean, you had 3 rushers go over 50 yards for Philadelphia in Clement, Blunt, and Ajayi. That hasn't happened since 03. It's the first time in 14 years, right? That's incredible. And that, and you know, I was fielding some questions about why isn't Ajayi out there very much in the first half. You know, it was a lot of Corey Clement in the first half, which is something we've seen them do. They like using Corey early, and they obviously like using Corey in the red zone. I mean, gee willikers. Kids, a magnet for 6. But you really can see how dangerous it is to have that physical brand of runner available in such fresh degrees in the second half. I mean, you talked about the Cowboys giving up. That one drive where Blunt got like 3 or 4 carries in a row, they didn't want to touch him, man. They were going to let him walk in. It was bad, right? It's awesome, and it's great to talk about. But again, I'm giving my game balls to the offensive line. Sweet Christmas. They played a fantastic game. Firstly, DeMarcus Lawrence, who led the NFL in sacks, had his least impactful game by far unquestionably. Mm-hmm. And they're highlighting, you know, Chris Collinsworth. I can't stand Chris Collinsworth, for those of you who don't know. And one of the reasons is he's my least favorite sort of analyst, because he picks like two things to talk about before the game, and that's all he talks about, right? So there's like 10 different narratives going on with Dak and Wentz, and all he's doing is showing clips of Lane Johnson and DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, oh, DeMarcus Lawrence made this tackle for loss on this running play. Yeah, well, Blunt was like stopped in the backfield by three other guys first. Lawrence was just the guy who ended up getting the tackle. Come on. Dexter Lawrence was a non-factor. Brandon Brooks played fantastic. I think Jason Kelce is the best active player in the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
The run that Jay Ajayi had, the 71-yarder. I mean, you saw Kelce at his best there. Get to the second level, seal off Anthony Hitchens, and just create a massive hole. And it's not flashy. He doesn't finish like a Frederick does, for instance. He just gets there, man. He's athletic enough to get out there. He's got great timing with it. Got great leverage with it. He is having a world-class season. PFF currently has him as their highest-graded player. I went back and watched three of his games the other day, and just solid, man. You can't pick apart his game. You can't nitpick his game. He's just been absolutely solid for us, and that's doing a lot for us. Right now, we rank second in the league in inside zone with 5.2 yards per carry. That's coming into this game, and that's a lot because of, you know, Kelce. And the other guys on the line are playing great as well. Like you pointed out, Lane Johnson against DeMarcus Lawrence. Lane did his job. So I think they did very well to not only protect Wentz, give him time as he struggled and whatnot, but also to block in the run game. Remember, we had 215 yards.
So we got, I think, two big defensive performances to talk about. You get one, I'll take the other. You want Derek Barnett doing what was foretold and exploding, or do you want Ronald Darby welcome back in a Philadelphia Eagle uniform? Who are you taking?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and take Derek Barnett. You know, the stats really don't matter because the eye test is what was there, as far as we knew that he was going to be able to turn the corner on Byron Bell. And that's exactly what happened. And he had the strip sack that led to the fumble. And he was just getting home, man. So two sacks, two tackles for loss. Barnett, when the Eagles got the lead by a couple scores, you saw a change in the way that they started attacking Dak. Because at first, you know, they were letting up some soft edges and whatnot, and Dak was able to escape out and all that. In the second half, man, they were running like wild dogs after Dak Prescott. They weren't letting him go anywhere. And Barnett was getting the edge. He played absolutely fantastic. He had three QB hits on the day. Truly dominating performance where you would expect one based on who he was going up against, which is encouraging to see. I'm not trying to poo-poo it at all. It was awesome. That's what you want to see. So props to Derek Barnett, the rookie, getting it done, getting in a rhythm. And that puts him at how many sacks on the season now, Ben?
If he just picked up two, then it's either 4.5 or 5, which is either at or over our projection for him. So that's, you know, I said it on the preview pod. I expected him to break it, and he did. So I'm excited.
So tell us about our boy Ronald Darby coming through big time, man. Big time comeback. Yeah. From the start, stacking up Dez and then getting that pass breakup. So excellent game for Darby. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now, like, I think the addition of Ronald Darby is insanely huge because this Eagle defense was so good without him on the field, and you can see the difference. And I think he got tested in this game more than he's going to get tested in any single game for the rest of the season. Because I think Dallas came in and said, "All right, we gotta see, you know, how healthy is he? Is he back? Can Dez physically bully him?" Answer was a resounding no, as Dez was held to a very quiet, or not a very quiet game. He was 8 for 63, right? But he was. They fed him a lot, and Darby did very well playing him. Darby led the team in tackles, right? Which you never want a corner to lead the team in tackles. But the way that he was being tested, you know, you had multiple of those quick screens, those little bullet passes off to the side, right? Constantly attacking him on the slants. Darby did an excellent job tackling in space, which is not easy for cornerbacks. That's often a liability. He did a great job in that regard. Two passes defensed, constantly around the football. And then that interception was a classic example, in my opinion, of the sort of play where Darby makes that. And then Darby will get burned over the top on a deep route, and we'll all like kind of freak out because, oh, that's not what he's good at. But the way Darby played that ball put him in position to attack an underthrow. The way he played that route, I should say, put him in position to attack an underthrow, right? And he knew he had safety help over the top. That's what a ball hawk like Darby does. That's the style of play. And so we have to recognize that when we enjoy that play, that we take that in tandem with sometimes he gets burned over the top, right? But showed good ball skills on that play, which sometimes he gets knocked for. Excellent tracking ability. Yeah, he looked spry. He looked competitive. He looked tough. He looked so excited to be back out on the field. And I'm telling you right now, he's not going to be attacked the way he was attacked in this game, right? And we know, we both shared a post that was written by somebody, I forget his name, about how the Eagle defense really makes you one-dimensional, really forces you to throw the football because their run defense is so good. When I was Darby on the field, now I think, you know, you're forced to throw the football and you don't want to be throwing in Darby's direction. You're in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, like you said, they had a lot of those smoke routes where he was in off coverage and they would just throw it out to Dez, and every single time Darby was able to secure the tackle. So that's, you know, one reason why he led the team in tackles. Like you said, you don't always want to see that, but at this situation in which he was tested, you know, he took care of business. You know, I was concerned coming into the game, like, how many snaps is he going to get? I thought Dez might see a lot of Mills, but Darby didn't look rusty at all. And that's huge. He looked at full play strength, and I think he's only going to get better as the season wears on. And like you said, I don't think teams are going to be willing to test him as much as the Cowboys did tonight moving forward. Can we talk about Alshon Jeffrey, 4th and 5, the 17-yard touchdown catch? Because he is and I think I saw you put this on Twitter. This game felt more like what we thought we were going to get from Alshon coming into the game. Big boy football. You know, play through contact, make the catch, get open with your play strength, things of that nature. And I thought the 4th and 5 catch was excellent. So props to Alshon. I have nothing bad to say about him tonight whatsoever. Good performance. Ben, what do you think about him?
Right. I mean, I'll make the same caveat I've made for a couple of weeks, which is that Alshon, you know, 4 receptions, 67 yards on 7 targets. Again, these are not quote unquote wide receiver one numbers, because I don't think this offense runs with a wide receiver one, but he made wide receiver one plays. That catch, right. That even the first catch he had, right, which was a stick mover. I'm pretty sure it was on 3rd down, but it's like a bang 8 post, right? He was just physical. He fought through contact, probably offensive pass interference, but that's what he does well. Like, that's fine. You know, that's DeAndre Hopkins. He's amazing. He does that. Fought through that contact, made a big man catch, and that touchdown was a huge catch. It was kept a touchdown, right? Yeah, it was. You know, that was an insanely powerful catch. You know, concentration, strength in the hands going down to the ground, in a lot of traffic. Credit Wentz for putting that ball in an incredibly tight window. What I saw from Jeffrey that made me the most excited, honestly, was how hype he was how pumped he was, right? This is a guy who, you know, he's an even-keeled dude, right? And when players who tend to be more even-keeled, just kind of, you know, mellow yellow, when players like that aren't performing at their level, sometimes you wonder about their commitment. Sometimes that can be put into question. Even in the beginning of the season, you know, it was like, oh, Alshon's behind on the playbook, and, you know, he's not like gelling necessarily, right? Whatever. To see that fire from him in a Cowboy game was awesome. I love that. Like, that really got me excited about what I've seen from Alshon. I thought, no, fantastic game. And how about, you know, the Eagles have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different guys catching a pass on a day in which Carson Wentz only completed 14 passes, only attempted 27, right, and 4 different players score touchdowns. This is such a balanced, interesting, unique offense. Let me tell you, you have no idea where and how this offense is going to attack you. You just don't. They come at you in so many different ways. Like, for like a film head like me, like, I just love watching this offense develop. I love watching it. The way that it grows over a game, it's just beautiful. It gets me so excited. All right, I'm gonna give you two stats. You gotta tell me which one excites you the most. I like doing this after games.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I have 3. I'll give you 4 straight games of 30 plus points. They lead the NFL in point differential at +132, and their turnover margin is currently at +10. Which one gets you the most hype?
I'm gonna go with the point differential. I mean, you're executing on both the sides of the ball. You're holding teams under 20, you're scoring over 20, which has basically been our season in a nutshell. And to put up points the way that we do, when we don't have like a true, other than Wentz, obviously, a true superstar. And I wanted to make this point after your Alshon point, because I've said before that the offense doesn't run through wide receiver one, and it doesn't need to. And I've said before, the offense runs a lot through Ertz, and it does at times. The offense runs through Carson Wentz. The offense runs through the game plan. Whatever we're feeling at the time, we can execute. And like you said, spreading the ball around like we do, doing those things, scoring points no matter what, and then the defense just being shut down when we need them to be. When we struggled in that first half, for them to come away, like I said, on the first drive, 3 and out after a big return from Ryan Switzer, they came out, handled their business from drive one. And it just got better and better and better throughout the game. So that's what excites me the most. The turnover differential fantastic. We're protecting the ball. We didn't necessarily expect that from Wentz coming into the season, but we're getting takeaways and we're not turning it over, which is awesome. But yeah, it's the point differential for me. What about you?
Honestly, what gets me the most excited is turnover differential, because we already know how I feel about Carson Wentz and interceptions. The fact that he has thrown... I've harped on it, right? But he opened... Yeah. He opened the year against Washington and against Kansas City with two very crucial bad interceptions inside of his own 30. Both of them turned into 7 points. Both of them made the game unnecessarily complex. From that point, Carson Wentz has played in 8 games and has thrown 3 picks. That's huge, right? Over that same period of time, what, he had 2 touchdowns today, right? So that puts him at a total of 21 touchdowns and 3 interceptions over those past 8 games. To me, that's insane compared to the quarterback that I saw play in year one. That's unbelievable. And so that turnover margin. And then today, Eagles generated 4 turnovers on defense. We had the Derek Barnett strip sack. Nigel Brown picks that up. We had 3 interceptions, including 1 in the red zone, right? The plus 10 turnover differential is absolutely huge. You were talking about things that are important in the playoffs. The Eagles are one of the league leaders in time of possession, and now they're one of the league leaders in turnover differential. That's massive. I wrote about this. Y'all need to stop saying the SB word. It is very crucial that we do not say the SB word anymore. I wrote about it in my preview. Listen, Chris Collinsworth dropped it. He said SB favorite. That's like adding that's, I don't know how you add to a bad juju. That's badder juju, man. That is not good. We are a young team who has not been to the playoffs in a while and has never been to the playoffs under this head coach and quarterback regime. We are looking for first seed in the NFC. That is the current goal. No saying the SB word. That is very important. End.
As Belichick would say, we are on to Chicago. As far as I'm concerned, this one is behind us. The NFC East is a wrap for us. There's no one that's going to be able to contend with us there, especially after the Redskins hilarious meltdown where they had a 99.6 win percentage probability against the Saints and couldn't help us out. I know, man. The Redskins can't do anything right. So, and then, you know, the Rams looked impotent against the Minnesota Vikings today. And then looking forward, so we'll talk about the Chicago Bears game throughout the week. I don't see them as any kind of threat. They're not going to be able to move the ball downfield through the air. They're the most run heavy team in the NFL. They're definitely the second most differential between last year and this year between run pass ratio. They run more than they did last year. The second most out of any team in the NFL, just behind Jacksonville and actually in front of the Eagles as well, who would have seen that coming. Look, Seattle's beat up and we were really worried about that game. Cam Chancellor just went on IR, and then you have Richard Sherman on IR, Cliff Averill's on IR. That team is beat up defensively. I am no longer really concerned about what that team brings to the table as a defense. Obviously, you know, they still have the home field advantage with the 12 men and all that nonsense, but the Los Angeles Rams looked very human today. This season's looking good, man. But like you said, we are not going to say the SB words. We are on to Chicago. All right, just right now, how many times are we going to hear trap game with Chicago this week? And is it even in the realm of possibility that the Eagles get trapped by this game?
I don't think so. I think that, yeah, you got to make sure, because Chicago has a tougher defense than Dallas does. And if you come out lackadaisical like you did, right, I think it's going to be tougher to kind of pick things back up again against Chicago. But there's no way the Eagles should struggle against Mitchell Trubisky, right? Who, I like him. He was my quarterback one coming out of the class. He's going to be a good quarterback. But John Fox is a really bad coach, and Chicago does not really have much teeth to them. They don't have much going into their season. So, no, I wouldn't be surprised if you see maybe Alshon grab a rest game if that ankle is really nagging him. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that against Chicago, just because they have that two game road stretch left. And then, yeah, I wouldn't be too quick to write off the Rams. You know, they've got a game against the Saints coming up in Los Angeles. That's very interesting. I think that the Redskins exposed some chinks in that Saints defensive armor that I think that LA will be able to attack. And I think that LA will be very motivated after that Vikings loss. The Vikings are the guys who scare me the most in the NFC, plainly. That's what I've been saying for a couple weeks. That I think that right now, the only defense I look at in the NFL, where I, or excuse me, in the NFC, that I say, oh, they could really hang with Philadelphia and cause them problems is the Vikings. That's the only one that I see.
And don't fall into the trap of the Saints defense not being that good despite their performance against the Redskins today. I think they had about 4 to 5 starters out. They get a lot of those guys back next week. So we'll see what that defense returns to moving forward. But yeah, I would agree. The Vikings, man, Case Keenum doesn't care where he goes. He just...
he deals. He's what a guy.
Yeah, he just deals, man. He doesn't seem mentally fazed by anything, any of the doubt or anything like that creeping in his head. He gets cut from one job and he just comes out and does another one, and he performs brilliantly. Him and Adam Thielen, who is a top 15 wide receiver in the NFL.
Facts.
So 37-9, Eagles take it home. Ben, what else do you have for the gentle listeners?
What's up, team? How we doing? Tuesday, we widen the scope as per usual. We'll take a wider look at the NFL. We've already kind of, foreshadowed some of the talk we'll have about the NFC, but we're just going a little bit bigger there. We'll, of course, touch on prospects, do some game time decisions, our usual Tuesday show. Wednesday, we're dropping the crossover. Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears will be joining us. We'll be doing one of those big episodes. Always a ton of fun. Going to be very interesting to pick Lauren's brain about a program that reminds me of Philadelphia in some ways, in that they've got a lot of talent, especially on the defensive side, but I think poor coaching is holding them back. And I think some of the right hires could really change things for them. And they might be even ahead of where Philadelphia was, because they, I think, already have their franchise QB in Mitchell Trubisky. So that'll be a fun talk. Thursday, taking it off, man. You guys enjoy your holiday. That's Thanksgiving. Be with family. Don't listen to us, by which I mean, go listen to our old podcasts, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. We won't be releasing anything new. And then Friday, we're previewing that game against Chicago here in the back half of the season. 9-1, batting 900 there. Best record in the NFL. Life's pretty good over here on Locked On Eagles, friends.
You got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Caw-caw! I did a big one.
Proud of you, Ben.